Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Match Ball.
Hello, welcome to The Match Ball, brought to you with Levi Solicitors. There's 10% off your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. 15% off for another week or so until the end of January for conveyancing instructions. Dan, Michael, and Moscow, the 3 degrees today, and football occasionally kicks you in the bollocks, doesn't it? And it's kicked us in the bollocks today. I feel quite philosophical about that one. Are you angry, upset? Where are you on the, is it on the grief cycle? Which stage of grief are you at?
It's pissed off on there. I don't think it is.
Anger is,
it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, anger. It's anger than acceptance, isn't it?
Yeah, we shouldn't have lost that. Yeah. And we didn't really deserve to, as bad as I thought we were.
Were we bad or were we just lacking?
Second half, we were bad.
I thought we lost our shape a little bit compared to the first half. But
we lost our minds.
It got stretched, didn't it? And bad choices were made by many people. But it is frustrating, isn't it? I mean, that's the words that Bielsa's saying. Frustration. Robin Cocker said frustration. It's like that board game, isn't it? Frustration.
At least they've all got a word.
Yes.
For it. That's good. That's progress.
Yeah, it's tough to take because we should have had him on toast in that first half, shouldn't we, really? We should have been about three up at half time.
Yeah, I think not having a striker probably cost us in the first half, because Harrison was having loads of joy down the left. There was some quite good balls going in and just no one there.
Yeah.
And then there was the Dan James, which necessarily a bad finish, but there was the one where Rafinha laid it back to him and it was saved, wasn't it? It just felt like that was not... Dan James was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
When we didn't have the ball. If we're going to go hecking bottom.
That saving tackle.
He did some brilliant with the ball as well. But yeah the saving tackle.
I was going to say, the saving tackle when it looked all on that they were going to be clean through. I was like, bloody hell, where did he come from? It was that like that sound effect, that sound effect. But it's like, but he got into so many good positions where, I mean, how many times, we'll get onto Dan James in a minute. The thing I took from that game was, and I thought this at halftime, and yeah, we did lose our shape in the second half, but I noticed in that first half in particular, and I'm going to use wanky technical language now, like beat the press. But the number of times where we passed it around at the back, they would come onto us and press us, and we'd play around them. We'd do the little triangle out wide. Time and timing, I thought we're going to have these lot on toast out wide today. And we'd end up with like 2-on-1. For all the forward threat that Saint-Maximin offered, he wasn't tracking back, I noticed as well. Mm. So we were often left 2-on-1 in the wide situations every time. And I thought, come on, it's just a matter of time, surely. And then we do a little interchange on the edge of the box, get in behind them to the byline. Somebody would cut it back, and then that's the end of it.
But it wasn't the end of it, because there was never anyone.
That's what I mean. At the end of it, that's the end of the move, the end of the forward play. So that's why it's frustrating to me, is that we were more than capable of getting in behind him time and time again. But it's just the old story of lacking cutting edge, isn't it?
I can't believe we've taken 1 point off them this season.
No,
because the shit.
I mean, they're not a good side at all.
They're really not. And
this is not just being a bad loser.
No, it's not.
I've had a text from a Geordie mate who's watched that, who's been a bad winner.
And don't get me wrong, they'll be delighted with it.
Yeah. Good luck to them.
The last points.
Oh, whack, sorry.
The last points they'll win this season.
Well, maybe. I mean, like, so we don't want to sound like bad losers, do we? That's the point.
I don't care. Last points they'll win this season. They're going down.
I am, like, philosophical about that. Like, some games I've been absolutely gutted, but you could kind of see that unfolding as the half went on and it lost its shape, didn't you? And it turned into a bit of a basketball match. And I was like, by the end, I was like, football. It's just one of those days when football punishes you, doesn't it?
What is it about Jonjo Shelvey in front of the cop that we seem to insist on giving him goals when he
goes back to Blackpool 5-0, does that?
Yeah, he got a hat-trick in that one, didn't he? And Rehobka, and we have to blame Melier for the goal, don't we?
I mean, you saw on your little... have you got the little telly bell? Hang on. Little telly.
I haven't even said anything.
Have you got your little telly?
Do you have to wait for me to say it first?
Have you got a little telly?
I did have a little, yes.
There we go, done it.
Yeah, he did a weird thing. There's a litany of errors leading up to the goal, because it starts with Tyler Roberts losing the ball, which I can tell you how that happened and everyone will interpret it as defending him.
Apologies for the thwacks on the live stream as well, by the way. It's just because the mic is just knocking itself off.
I don't
off.
Really have a choice.
Faulty cable. We'll sort it out.
He was about to pass the ball through to Rafinha, and I don't know if Rafinha thought he was going offside, but he changed his run, and then he couldn't play the ball, and then he was twisting and turning, trying to find a way of putting the ball through to Rafinha. Two Newcastle players came in, took the ball off him, and then Llorente made the foul on, I assume, Saint-Maximin, I can't remember.
It wasn't, I don't think.
One of the I think it was.
Oh, was it? I can't remember.
It was somebody, and then was playing merry hell with Tyler Roberts, which makes me think maybe it was more his fault than I thought it was. But then Llorente lined up a wall and stood behind it where he couldn't see, and that seemed like a bad move. When right. And certainly in
you and Meliade, no, Llorente lined up the wall.
No, Llorente got the gloves, went in goal. Did you miss all this?
Oh, is that why we conceded? Yeah,
Meliade lined up a wall, and with hindsight, and you can easily see there's lots of angles from, because there's a camera right on the in front of the West Stand that looks at the far post, and from behind John Joe Shelby, you can see Meliade cannot see. And I don't know about your goal. Do you want to do some goalkeeping coaching? Put the wall there and then stand there so that you can see defend, where the ball is
coming. You mean defend your near post more than
well,
your
I thought
far.
Just defend the post. And then I think the idea is to give yourself, you stand where the wall isn't, and then if the ball goes there.
But he did that. His wall was to the right, and I was actually worried because I'm in the cops, I'm behind it. But I was doing the old Brian Moore with Ronald Koeman. He's going to flip one. He's going to flip one, because I thought he's just going to knock this over the wall, and there was a huge gap. Then he actually put it to the side Melier was at, but it looked like he just completely let it through his hands.
But the wall was also, I mean, we can't see it from, unless somebody strapped a GoPro to Melier and we see.
Well,
I'm
kind of behind him, so I thought the wall was badly set up, but then he was perfectly positioned for that where the shot ended up, but he just made a mess of it.
And I think he would have, but I think it looks on the replays like he didn't see it until very late.
Did it bounce in front of him, Mosca?
Yes.
Yeah. So that is one of those killer things for keepers. It's a little bit reminiscent of in terms of the opposite end of the pitch. But you know when we scored against Leicester when Rafinha put that free kick in past Schmeichel and it just went all the way in. It's one of those, isn't it? When you go towards the far post, if you can make it dip and bounce just in front of the keeper, it's unfortunately going to unsight him sometimes. And he should have done a lot better. There's no two ways about it. He's at fault for that, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's got plenty of credit in the bank.
Yeah,
yes.
What I was going to say was just,
he was at fault for it.
You can't make a perfect wall either. When you're in that sort of dangerous position, you can't ever cover all parts of the goal, because otherwise you'll have no one left to defend the ball. You know, you could have put an 8-man wall in and suddenly you find yourself a little bit exposed. But
and he made a bunch of wonderful saves, as he always does.
So. Yeah.
But then afterwards, and you were saying we lost our shape. It didn't. I think it was more minds. I think we played so many stupid balls in attack. There was ones, the Ayling pinging a ball at Tyler Roberts' head when he's like 30 yards out, and I don't know what he thought was going to happen next, but we just gave the ball back to them. And then Rodrigo he got the ball on the wing after we'd done a really good move, kind of pressing them all the way in and getting the ball down the left cross field pass to Rodrigo. You think, oh, we've turned them around, it's going to be brilliant. Ballooned it in the south stand. Harrison was just kept messing up when he'd been really good up until the last 10 minutes. And I think that goal just knocked us off. And you were looking for players to kind of go, just calm this down. We're better than them. Let's assert it now in the few minutes that Newcastle are going to allow us to play. But it just all just went. It wasn't just shape, it was, I think, everybody's
composure
lost their minds. Yeah, composure.
Manquillo was fouled, says Aaron. Thank you in the comments on YouTube. So that clears it up. Give it a whack. No, whack. There we go. It's working. Yeah.
Sorry
about that. I was going to ask about Rodrigo actually and his performance, because he's like a bit of an enigma to me. Like, you see loads of really good stuff when he's dropping into those spaces between the attacking line and midfield. And you think, oh, we're really well done, and it links up really nicely. But then there's other times when he just looks almost pedestrian and gets caught in possession of the ball. And I don't know, I can't quite figure out what I think of his performance today. At times brilliant, at times infuriating.
It's kind of like all of his time. I'm not sure. I think he's good, but I'm still not entirely sure he fits for us. And I've rarely seen him kind of dominate a game, which for your record signing, you just expect a bit more from him, I think. And I know he's never fit either, is it? That's the other thing. Mm. He's never 15 games into a run where you can say, well, now he needs to be performing. He's always seems to be coming back. Or...
he seems to lack physicality as well. That's another thing. Like, he gets knocked off it very easily. Doesn't always seem like he's prepared to compete. Maybe it's just not in his locker to do that, but you can't afford to not have that in your locker if you're a midfielder in the Premier League.
I'll be honest, I assumed he was coming off today when I saw Tyler Roberts warming up, and then it was James, and I thought, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
As I think pretty much the entire stadium did at that point. I don't think anyone, Moscow side maybe, I don't think anyone wanted to see Roberts in that moment, did they?
Everyone was expecting Gelhardt.
Which is probably harsh on Roberts, and it says as much about how much people want to see Gelhardt as anything else. But I feel like it killed it a bit.
Yeah.
To be honest, everyone was really looking forward to Gelhardt coming on. Then it was like, oh, right, okay, we're doing this.
And we don't need to get into the Roberts debate again. You know, I think it's fairly clear that we'd accept that, you know, maybe he lacks the quality that we want, but equally, he's here, we've got to deal with that. But you could tell, like, he wasn't quite up to the speed of the game because nobody coming into a game is. You know, he wasn't going to come on and change it, was he? He didn't ever feel. He was just coming in to carry on trying to do whatever it was that we were trying to do in that second half, which I wasn't quite sure what that was at times. But
We just ran out of ideas, it felt like. And the more they slowed the game down, the less chance we had of getting into it. I thought the ref was very weak not booking the keeper because he was absolutely ages every time the ball got near him.
Well, we got that, didn't we? And that by that is his arm in the air demonstrating that he under watch.
I thought that, but I thought, well, why not book him then? If you're basically saying you're taking that long that I'm having to stop this game, then obviously that is because they're wasting time, so you book them as well, which was annoying.
And the only one who got booked for time wasting was the one who was being subbed off, so he'll get some disciplinary points, but so what?
What does it matter? I mean, we should say something about it, because Bielsa has commented on the time wasting, and in the presser he's saying what you signalled, that as in Newcastle's time wasting, it was evident. Those in charge have sufficient tools to prevent it. In other words, it's down to the ref to sort this sort of stuff out, which is absolutely fair enough. And do you know what? I mean, the time wasting and the cheating is part of football, isn't it? And it happens, and sometimes you're going to get stung by it. And today's just one of those days. That's why I kind of feel a little bit philosophical about it, because they tried to slow it down. They were dead on their feet, weren't they? For that last quarter of that game, after they'd gone in front and we started going a bit mental, and the game completely lost its shape, they were dead on their feet. Who was number 21?
I can't bloody remember.
Bang the top, Moscow.
Ryan Fraser.
Just looking at the I actually made notes of minutes they went down. They had players down on 12, 25, 40, 60, 83 and 87. They had people on receiving treatment or getting cramped stretches or whatever.
I want a big ups to Leo Helder for getting stuck in the fourth official towards the end as well.
You could see him.
Yeah, that was...
What were we trying to bring McKinstry on for at the end? That was bizarre.
Is that who was lined up?
I think it was.
Yes, it was McKinstry. I don't know.
Some weird fever dream at the end. It's like, what are we doing?
We've brought him on in those circumstances before. It would just be the same. He's an attacker.
There was like a minute left. And
yeah,
we were trying
to do something.
And then we were going to bring
it.
And then we changed our mind. It was
isn't
really
it
weird.
1 minute, 50 seconds or something, Bielsa says you can score a goal.
And he thought, who's the man to do it? McKinstry.
Well, I mean, that's the other side of it.
It just struck me as really bizarre.
Well, the bench, I mean, it could have been Helder, McCarron, Chris Moore, Noah Kenna. Bate, Roberts and Gelhardt were already on, unless you stick Klaassen up front, see what could happen. I think when you were talking about Rodrigo before never getting a run of games, I wonder, and I will probably not be bothered counting up, how many games he's actually played with Bamford, where they've actually, we've had that thing of Bamford at nine and Rodrigo behind him, because that's another thing that kind of has never got into its groove. And it would have been interesting to see. It's funny with them having Chris Wood up front, they didn't seem to have a clue what to do with him. And then we didn't have a striker, and we were playing lots of beautiful balls any kind of finisher would have relished. I don't know if we could have persuaded Big Plank Face back to our side for 90 minutes, but I guess he'll be happy with 3 points and relegation. That'll cheer him up.
I've got to say, both Trippier and Wood don't look like great value for money based on that, do they?
Trippier was absolutely knackered by the end
and
didn't look great from the start. And I was looking up before, the one who Rafinha kept...
Dummett, wasn't it?
Who? How has Dummett got to the age of 30 years old? And I know I don't have the knowledge of football that I had as an 11-year-old when I was collecting Pro Set cards. 5 games for... Who is he? I've never heard of this clown. And then there he is.
You know, I was going to say about Fraser earlier on. It was Fraser who was 21, wasn't it? And he was there was a point when he was trying to chase back when his hamstring had gone, you know, and then he went down not long after, like with cramp. And I think it genuinely was cramp, but the ref did tell him to get up after a little push of his heel and all the rest of it. But he was like, he was limping, trying to get back, chasing after Jack Harrison at one point. They were dead on their feet. And I think that's what I find frustrating about today.
Well, they just had to stay back after they got the lead, wasn't it? I mean, and that's the other aspect. Even in the first half, they were playing very high line, but it's 4-5-1 and it's very congested. There was not a lot of room between the defence and midfield, and then Chris Wood is just up front doing whatever he does, and trying to get through that is often difficult for us.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, I was just thinking about like the centre forward situation. Like Bielsa's saying that he doesn't think that Bamford's going to be back even the other side of the 2 week break we've got now. Because it's going to take him a while to get back up to speed.
There's a lot of time.
Well, no, I think you're thinking of Newcastle because they're going to Saudi Arabia and not all of them might make it back. So we'll have to see, won't we?
But is he saying between the end of the international break and the collapse of the solar system, we will never see Bamford again?
No, just saying he's not ready. He's not going to be ready. Okay. When he comes, off the back of the break to come straight back in.
Can Brendan Aaronson play up front?
Well, no, but I mean, this is the thing. I mean, it's just sod's law, isn't it? That when Angus Kinnear is defending the transfer policy today in the programme notes, that there's never been a better example that kind of flies in the face of what he's saying, in that his basic thrust is, you know, we're not just going to sign people for the sake of it. We're not going to prevent pathways to the first team for the young players. But then every man and his dog thought Joffy was going to come on and go up front, and he didn't until later on, and he stood there for ages, bless him, and putting his bib on and his bib off because he had to cover up his shirt. Didn't happen. He put Tyler Roberts on, which is absolutely the coach's, the manager's prerogative. And I'm, you know, I always caveat this by saying, who am I to question Marcelo Bielsa? He's not really using the young players very much, is he? And I know we were talking that up about the way he's keeping Gelhardt on a leash, but today it needed somebody to change it, didn't it, up front? We need somebody with a centre-forward's instinct.
I feel like a striker would have won us that game if we'd had one on from the start. Mm. Just the balls that go across the box. Dan James doesn't position himself right for it, and he's really useful. I can absolutely see why he's in the team and why we wanted to buy him, but he's just not a striker. Like he's good at so much, but he doesn't know where to go.
Final ball, would you say he's good at that? Working on that?
Well, I can sort of live with that though. But it's when you can. There's just no one in the middle of the box when there's. Or making a little run. Like Gelhardt has the instincts of a striker. Like he knows to make a little move to the near post or whatever, or to just pull off a defender. And it just doesn't feel like that's the case with James. And I'm not, and he will score some goals if he's there because he has to eventually. But yeah. I just don't think it works.
He doesn't have the right instincts,
does he? Just play Gelhardt.
Yeah. The weird thing was we attacked so much better before either Roberts or Gelhardt came on. When James was on the pitch, we looked brilliant going forward and you're just waiting for. The final ball wasn't, almost when they were precise, it was the worst thing that happened. I think it was Dan James who played this beautiful ball to absolutely nobody. And part of you is thinking, yeah, we need a striker to gain on the back post and pop that into the net. But then the other half is thinking, well, why has Dan James done that when he knows he's the centre forward? Like, don't the player is not there because you are the player and they're all lining up on the edge of the box. But then the other thing, when we were less precise, I was not betting against Newcastle scoring an own goal at some point because we just kept pinging the ball into the 6-yard box. And if you didn't catch our player, you're wondering if it's going to go in off of one of their toes or something. So all that stuff was right. And then either Dan James doesn't score, but then he went off and it stopped happening. So it's weird, isn't it? And we did score 3 against West Ham, who were loads better.
I mean, that's the thing that balances this is that, you know, we won there. So we can, I guess we can almost afford to take this one on the chin a little bit. Like if we'd lost down there and we'd lost this one today, you'd be a bit more twitchy. But
and it's a little bit Leeds since Bielsa came in. Today, we've seen that kind of game from the beginning of Bielsa's time here in the Championship when we're up against garbage defensive time-wasting teams and we can't break them down. Even when we had, whether it was Kemar Roof, whether it's Bamford's up front, without Rafinha in the Championship, it was always difficult. And then we play somebody like West Ham, who is at the top of the division, and you think they're going to be really difficult. And we've taken 4 points off them this season. That, I haven't checked Newcastle's results.
We haven't taken 4 points off West Ham.
He imagined that we drew earlier in the season, didn't he?
Oh, why am I convinced that we drew with West Ham? All right, 3 points, which is better than nothing. Watford aren't going to take any points off them, for example. So it's a weird characteristic of our team that we've seen for several years that is always frustrating when it raises its head is we come up against time-wasting scum. Can't think of it.
You didn't know what word to go for then.
No, but that's how I felt watching them pretending they couldn't find the ball in the 3rd minute. And on losing heads, Llorente, after having that massive go at Tyler Roberts, and then also, if I wrote down in the first half before any of that, he caused a lot of trouble for us by giving the ball away stupidly, and then we had about 2 minutes of defending that we had to do when we were going quite well, and I made a note of like Llorente's like really enjoyable madness. But then when we were chasing the game, he was in Newcastle's dugout trying to find the ball when they got another ball taking the throw in. The game was going on while he's fighting Newcastle's bench.
I didn't see any of that.
It was out, and then our technical staff are running over to try and separate him and say, on the pitch. And I don't know whether he was angry about the way we'd conceded the goal and the way Roberts lost the ball and all that just made him lose his head. But certainly in the last 10 minutes, he seemed to just go fairly crazy when you needed a bit of calmness. And then, yeah, the thing about him yelling, I did think it's a bit rich when you were as guilty in the first half. We just got away with it. So,
yeah.
Funny old Diego. I love him.
I'd had a similar opinion about Llorente in that the first half I was kind of chuckling at his slight, because he was kind of just teetering on it, wasn't he? Like he kind of has it. He seems like he, I can't quite explain what it is, almost like he just sort of goes away into his own little world for a few seconds and he'll carry the ball for half a second too long before pinging it really aggressively at Rodrigo's face or whatever, stuff like that. Or then
and he loves,
he'll spin like dally on the ball just for just half a second too long.
He loves an aerial challenge with Ayling as well. Like Ayling can never just go for a header without thinking, mine! And it's fun. I love him. But yeah, he had a funny old end to the game.
Mm. Yeah, he always had it in him. But again, that's why he is who he is, isn't he? He's just got that. It's a game of percentages, isn't it? It's a game of marginal gains, and why we got him for 17 million quid is that he's just got that little madness in him.
We were pretty close. I don't know how it looked. I don't know actually why they didn't get a penalty for Cock on Saint-Maximin. Because when...
Isn't that when Saint-Maximin got booked, though?
No.
No, straight afterwards.
He'd already been booked for chasing after the ref and spending about 30 seconds miming uppercutting him.
Right.
Get running after him like it's like ref, ref, ref. And like it was one of the best displays of dissent you'll ever see. It was great.
He was moaning all day, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's terrible. And he's really not very good. Like, he dribbles at you and then he overruns it and he gives you the ball.
Like, I didn't know Stuart Dallas seemed to have figured it out.
Are you saying he's Darren Huckabee?
He's very Huckabee.
Stuart Dallas, he'd gone past a few people and Stuart Dallas just stood completely still and took the ball off him.
That's like, how you beat him.
If you don't look at his arms and legs, you just kick the ball, which is generally in the middle of him.
So what like mums and dads always used to say, wasn't it, when you were playing at school, watch the ball. Keep your eyes on the ball. Don't look at the man, look at the ball.
But the ball was long gone when Robin Koch kind of swipes his toes away and he goes under. And I'm very curious. The referee had no interest in it, and it never went to, well, there was no, obviously, VAR sort of, they are checking this.
Oh, there's none of that, was there?
No, but I mean, I'm quite surprised looking at the replay. I'm sort of like, the ball's gone and he's swiping his legs in the penalty area. That feels penalty-ish.
Was it a clear and obvious error?
Well, I guess. I mean, and yes.
Does the day end in Y?
If the
has the referee looked left, then right, then up, then down, and done the dance?
If the referee was staring, I mean, the referee did a whole get up thing. So you would have to say, if the VAR thought it was a foul, then it was an error. But I can only assume they didn't think it was a foul. And it's all in the heat of the moment. So I don't know. But I don't know why it wasn't. Mm. But, 2-0 would have been worse. Okay.
All right. So we've heard on the substitutions, which I think is probably one of the biggest question marks from a Leeds perspective about today is, do you agree with them?
They were bad.
Yeah. Bielsa said Roberts came on first today because Roberts was lined up to replace James and James was on a booking. Given that James was on a caution, Tyler was the first step to unbalance the game. That's why I did it. I mean, he did unbalance the game, didn't he?
He certainly did, yeah. Unbalanced himself, then us.
It's weird though, but one substitution shouldn't send the whole thing that balmy, should it?
Well, but
probably not.
But it did. It did. It sent Roberts barmy and he gave the ball to Newcastle.
That microphone is performing as well as Roberts.
Yeah.
So far.
It's come off the bench. It's adequate. Yeah. Apologies for the banging on the stream. Hopefully we'll be able to take it out for the audio version.
Banging on the stream.
Yeah, banging on the stream. I don't really have a lot to say about that today. I'm just trying to be philosophical about it because it was shite. It was just one of those days, wasn't it?
The good news is we won't be relegated. Newcastle might be.
It was meant to be, though. We win today, that would have put us
25 points.
13th place.
Mm.
And that'd have been fun, wouldn't it? We'd have been in 13th place, massive gap to the bottom three. Everything would have been fine. I mean, as it is, it still doesn't look bad. Everton have got a game in hand, but they can only go level on points. We're a point behind Brentford, but two games in hand on them. Admittedly, one is against Liverpool, which we're definitely not winning, but still. There's space for us. It feels like it doesn't feel like Newcastle are exactly breathing down our necks after it, does it? But
no.
It's still bloody annoying.
Yeah, I think. But then maybe the philosophical part comes in of being long-term Leeds United fans, and really, if you're going to look for the how would today actually end, based on past knowledge, of course we're going to lose.
Mm. Yeah, it is just one of those things, isn't it? It is one of those things. I'm turning it off so you don't get the bangs on the stream. So,
but then until I speak into it, I don't know if it's fixed. It was the most obvious Leeds route was to lose to Newcastle today, and just I suppose the polite phrase is keep things interesting.
Yeah,
it's the way this season's going, isn't it? It's never just it's never just fine, is it?
It's like Bamford being last week when Bielsa says Bamford has not suffered another injury. We just didn't want to risk him, and then Thursday he was saying Bamford has suffered another injury. Now he has. And then today saying Bamford will never, ever be back.
You see, when Stuart Dallas went down towards the end of the first half, just under his own weight, wasn't it? And he landed on his arm. I thought, he'll probably have fractured his arm now.
Yeah.
I did notice Yelda was out on the pitch warming up at half time. Yeah. He was being put through his paces. I was thinking, oh, Christ, Dallas is injured now.
The close-ups of Dallas when he went down on the little television were of a man in severe pain, real pain. And then sort of going, I'm not going to go off.
No,
it was a decision rather than, I don't think the pain subsided. I think it still hurts. I think he just went, I'm just going to get up and get on with it and ignore the fact that my arm is broken.
That's it. I just remembered who it was Phil Hayes' interview with Adam Forshaw this week that was in The Athletic. And Forshaw was talking about players playing through with injuries. And he said, to be honest, Stuart Dallas is doing it just about every week. And you're like, no, it's fine. I'll pop it back in the socket. It's okay. Off we go. But yeah, what can you say? One of those days. At least we've only got 2 weeks to stew on it now, hey?
And a half if we don't get the Villa one. Might be rearranged for the FA Cup weekend, but it seems needlessly difficult because of Amazon. But then, it's a long old wait until we play Aston Villa. Anyway, we're playing them one way or the other, home or away.
We could have faced one of those old 1920s scenarios where we play them home and then away the day after.
Yeah, I'm still up for it. Like, yeah. I mean, I'd be up for us playing a rematch with Newcastle tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll beat them.
Well, they'd be very tired is what they would
they
be.
They would be very
as
tired.
As Clicky tweeted after West Ham. But, final thoughts on it then. It's all right, innit? We'll be okay.
It's not really crap.
No, it's disappointing. But yeah, it was a bit Premier League-y today. It felt Premier League-y.
No, it didn't, because they were terrible. It felt.
In the way that the Premier League can come and bite you on the arse sometimes, just by if you're profligate, if you don't score, if you don't take your chances, they're gonna get one. Especially given the way we play.
The quality of Jonjo Shelvey will make you pay in the, at the top level of the world's game.
It's just horrible. Like in leaving the cop, there was some dickhead was like yelling, saying how shit we were and stuff, and you just think, well, I'm annoyed too, but like. Come on.
Yeah, but you've got to remember the stadium and Twitter as a kind of a microcosm of that. It's just a place where everybody pours out anxieties and frustrations, particularly in the wake of a game like that, that we should have put it to bed. But, you know, sometimes you don't. That's football, isn't it? That's why we love it. Because sometimes we get on the other side of this when we're the away team. You know, shit happens, doesn't it? Come on. It's all
we
right,
We were
Michael.
Loads better than them. We are loads better than them. A goal in the first half and we would have absolutely stormed away with that match. We've got so much more than they have, and but we just don't do it the easy way. And that's I don't think we were watching a terrible team
losing
today. We were watching a team that fucked it up.
And thankfully, as Angus said in the program notes, we don't need any more players. So
at the same time, we know they're trying to buy one, aren't they?
So are they?
Well, I assume we didn't bid for. I assume the bid is real. For Aronson?
It seems to be.
So that's an attempt to buy a player, isn't it?
It is.
If you bid for one. I don't know if like
they just they're pretending Moscow.
Yeah, if the bid got accepted and then he's about to sign the contract and
the follow up to that is we'll give you a fiver a week.
Jean-Kevin Augustin jumps out of a cupboard.
Hey, listen, let's wrap it up. One of those days. Let's go away, think about it, come back. We've got propaganda to do on Tuesday. Should we maybe just do a little bit of Geordie propaganda and just have some fun with the rest of
it? There's even before the game, on YouTube, there's videos from Newcastle channels of the journey down the M1. So there's plenty. The A1,
the A1
even.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, unless you want the M1. And
do people want to hear Newcastle fans driving down a road? I mean, it sounds...
The Likely Lads was a big hit on the television, and much of it took place in just two Geordies in cars talking. So if it's good enough... for that.
And what's the service station called in North Yorkshire? Leeming Bar, isn't it? That's an interesting service station because you've got to drive about 5 miles off the new A1 to get to it.
Your old stomping ground, the A1.
It is. I spent every day for 4 or 5 years driving up and down that.
Was it more enjoyable than today?
Yeah. Just about.
Okay.
Let's wrap it up. Come on. Let's go home. Let's forget all about it. Put a nice film on tonight. We'll have a cuddle. It's all right.
What are you going to watch?
Not us. Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
Not match of the day. That is the answer.
I hate this because it's when I realise how pathetic I am that I'm going to be in a right fucking mood all evening and I can't pretend it's not because of football.
Will your wife not lift you out of this mood?
No, she'll be annoyed that I'm sulking.
Cheer yourself up with a copy of the new Squareball magazine.
Yeah.
And then you could even, I don't know if they're ready yet, but wear a t-shirt of the cover.
El Gol para Leeds Unite. We needed one of those today, didn't we? Listen, we'll wrap it up there. We'll see you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.